And joining us in studio is James Lamborn. He is running for a second time in District 28A against the incumbent Rick Cheatham. And James, welcome. Good to have you in studio. I believe you've been here once before. Is that
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, about a year ago.
All right. Well, it's good to have you here. And we are a couple of weeks away now. So how is your campaign going? Give us a little rundown here.
It is going very well. We are a well-oiled machine. We'll have run this race 15 months come May 19th.
Wow.
Given our whole lives to this thing. We just hit our 2,000th door last week that we've knocked, and we plan on doing another 1,000 at least in the next 2 weeks. So
you better have your Apple Watch on, tracking those steps.
How many pairs of shoes have you gone through?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Misty especially. She's gone through a couple, literally. So
yeah.
It's been great, you know, just getting out, sort of going around the general noise of the campaign and some of the censorship that you'll run across with newspapers and other information relayers, and just going straight to the people at their house is an experience that teaches you a lot. In our case, it has really bolstered our confidence. I think our message is ringing loud and clear.
Okay, so, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I know we're here to talk about your campaign, but I'd love your insight on the dynamics of this race, because you have Representative Cheatham, who I think everyone would consider him a moderate. Like, he kind of fits in with a lot of the East Idaho lawmakers that we've seen. Probably is not as conservative as a lot of diehard Republicans would like. You also have Mike Seville, who we interviewed a couple of years ago when he was running in that race that we were talking about. And when I look at his stuff, he sides with the Democrats on everything. Like he's anti-Trump. He shares stuff that is overtly anti-Trump Democrat. I thought he's running in the wrong party here, and so I don't know why he'd be running in that. And then you, which I would just call you a solid conservative mainstream, or a mainstream conservative.
Yes.
And that, from what I can tell about your positions, how we've interviewed you, from your campaign message, you are the traditional Republican in this race.
Yes.
Even though you are the challenger. So did I get that right? And if so, how do you see the stars lining up this year? Because you got second place a couple of years ago.
Yes, sir. You nailed it, Neil. So first and foremost, we are, I am a constitutionalist. I'm a Christian conservative, free market capitalist, law and order, America first, traditional Reagan, authentic MAGA Republican. To me, it's pretty clear what a Republican is and has been my whole life. You look at Mr. Seville, and you know, when you see footage of the 60s and the Vietnam War, and you see all the hippies out there revolting and spitting on the troops and burning flags and things like that, that is the ilk. I'm not saying Mr. Seville at 82 years old was there doing that, but that is his brand. You're not going to find somebody farther left wing than Mike Seville. And he's run for many offices in this part of the state for at least a decade as a Democrat. And he just recently decided to become a Republican. I think he's following Rick Cheatham's lead.
Okay.
Quite frankly.
Yeah.
And so you throw an R in front of your name just to get elected. That's dishonest inherently. If you don't agree with the Idaho State Republican Party platform, the very clear fundamentals and the tenets which separate us from the Democrat Party, and same with the RNC national platform, then I think you ought to do the honest thing and say, I'm a Democrat. Run as a Democrat or an independent, but don't lie about your party affiliation.
Yeah.
All right. I can see that you've got three issues listed here. I want to talk about issue three. This is about the choices that government is making on spending. Budgets were a huge deal in the Idaho legislature this year. I'm sure you followed that. I would like to know, what was your stance on the budgets? Had you been there, how would you have addressed or argued or voted for what JFAC worked on and came up with? Where would you have liked to seen cuts, and where would you have not cut the budget?
Mm. Yeah, so I'm a big proponent of DOGE, responsible oversight over the executive bureaucracies within the state, which is where we're finding all the waste, fraud, and abuse in states like California and Minnesota, and I'm sure more to come. I'm not a proponent of Medicaid expansion, which was last year, I believe. It was through Medicaid, which we see states like Minnesota and California, in conjunction with illegal immigrant NGOs and special interests, that tens of billions of dollars were funneled out of the state. I'm not saying that's happening here. Thank God we're in a red state. That's why we chose to live here. When our governor came out at the State of the State and said, we need to hit our budget. Thank God we have an amendment for a balanced budget here. Dang it. You can almost hear him say, dang it. He said, you can cut everything you want except for public education. And I think that is the wrong message, period, for a Republican state. There's nothing sacrosanct about teachers' unions. I think they need to experience just as much scrutiny with their taxpayer funds as any other bureaucracy or service within the state. So, I would cut everywhere I could see bloat and waste, period.
When you look at this last legislative session, are there any votes that passed that you would not have supported? Any bills that you thought should not have gotten through that you can think of?
Nothing comes to mind right off the bat. I look at historical bills throughout the last few years. We've been running for this seat for 2.5 years. I know probably the biggest bill this session was a House Bill 745, I believe. That was the teachers' union bill with the taxpayer funds. Mr. Cheatham voted no on that with most or all of the Democrats. I think that is actually probably the most consequential bill that was passed this session. It's an important message that we send. We're a Republican state with Republican tax dollars. And if public unions, taxpayer-funded unions, make it clear that there's no daylight in between them and the Democrat Party, unfortunately, then we should not be funding them openly without any kind of oversight whatsoever with our Republican tax dollars. I think we need to remind publicly funded unions, such as the teachers' unions, the IEA especially, that they're not the government. They're not elected authorities, and we don't just write blank checks to them whenever they want the money. So,
yeah. All right. We have a potential in the November election that medical marijuana and the legalization of that will be on the ballot. Most likely. I mean, I think we can count. It's going to be there. What is your stance on medical marijuana? And do you have concerns that that then moves Idaho to a place of full legalization of marijuana?
100%. It's inevitable. We saw it in Washington early on. It was one of the first states to legalize marijuana. And they always do it under the guise of medical. I think, and so I'm against it. I think there's something unique and special about the Gem State being one of the few states that has resisted this cultural trend and this health crisis, which is what I think it is. I'll tell you this, the quickest way, I've seen it firsthand, to turn a red state blue, one of the quickest ways is to legalize weed. in that state. Mm. Something about it pacifies a whole generation of men, makes them suggestible. It emasculates them. It harms their work ethic, their autonomy, their natural independence that I think and leadership, which comes with an entire generation of men. And therefore, it makes them more susceptible to leftist sort of socialist leaning propaganda in the Democrat Party.
So let me ask you a follow up, because I think this is a very good question. If the people pass it, and who knows how it could turn out. I think elections are kind of weird now. But let's say it passes in Idaho. As a lawmaker, what do you do? Because you're opposed to it. But now you've got this obligation from the voters to go ahead and legalize it in some way. So as a lawmaker, what would you put forward in response to that? Because that's a conundrum a lot of lawmakers may be in.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes. Well, we fight as if it's one of the most important things facing the health of our state and our citizens. So you regulate it, obviously. You would have to put very strict conditions on it. And, you know, with all of the information that's come out and the advancement technologically in terms of other parts of the cannabinoid plant, your CBN, your CBG, your CBD, things that have been proven to have real health benefits, antifungal, antiviral, they help with depression, things like that. You don't need the THC, not to mention they've taken the THC out of these plants, and you can get them in pill form and oils, as you know, and things like that, which I'm not exactly advocating for. I just think some blanket legalization of weed, we've been there, we've done that, we've got going on a couple decades now to look at how that has affected the culture and the economics and the health of every state that has done it. And I think it's a bad move. It's just a bad move, no doubt.
Yeah.
All right. You're a strong proponent of the Second Amendment. And I would ask you a tough question about that via this conversation that might happen with somebody on the other side of the aisle, which is nothing's happening to the Second Amendment in Idaho, so we don't need to be concerned about it. What would your response be to that?
Thank God nothing significant has happened. And it's because we've remained vigilant on the Second Amendment. Anytime they want to open the door, our opposition wants to open the door with quote-unquote common sense gun regulations like red flag laws or whatever else that sound good on paper, you realize they understand for them to swing that door wide open, they have to get it open first. It's not unlike the medical marijuana that's always the first phase for having it mass consumed in a state. Well, it's just medical. So let's just open that door a little bit. And it's even more important with our Second Amendment rights. Look, the founders made it pretty clear. And every law that is common sense, that has taken into account our constitutional God-given rights to defend ourselves, our family, our neighbors, and victims who need our defense with lethal force, while taking into account basic common safety, they've already been done. The laws are there. They're fine. We don't need to keep messing with it at all. And I think the motivation of people that want to keep messing with it as incrementally as they can is something we have to watch out for. We can't be gaslit on that.
One other issue that you do talk about is sanctity of life. You're very pro-life, I can see. We might be facing a similar issue. I know the people who wanted to pass the abortion voter initiative, they say they have enough signatures, and we'll find out in the next few weeks if that's the case. That's another issue that could go before the voters in November. I just love your general thoughts on that.
Yeah. another one, and thanks for bringing that up, Neil, because it's exactly the same, in the sense that we are a pro-life state. We're a red state. We're a Republican state. There's a lot of temptation to follow the lead of other states, on incremental abortions, which is obviously just snuffing out a life. We all know what an abortion is. I'm 100% pro-life. Period. There are not any real cases where it came down to the baby's life or the mom's life for a very long time with all of our medical advancements. Because you could say on paper, theoretically, philosophically, well, the mom has a right to defend her life. If it came down to one or the other in childbirth of the mom, she has a right to defend herself. And sure, I agree with that. That's just kind of a red herring. That's not a real consistent issue. When you see the proponents of more abortion, they use the rape and the incest card more than that. And so, no, I'm 100% pro-life, period. And I am the only one, as a matter of fact, in this three-way Republican primary race that is. You've got Mr. Cheatham, who voted for House Bill 242, which would have allowed kids, underage girls, to be taken across state lines for an abortion without their parental consent. Their parents didn't even need to know about it. He voted with all of the Democrats to do that. And he was one of two Republicans, along with Dustin Manwaring and Pocatello, who voted for that. That's extreme. There's nothing moderate about that, and there's nothing Republican about that.
All right, we're up against the clock here, James. Just take a minute and tell voters in District 28 why they should vote for you.
At this stage in our national politics and our state politics, our president, Mr. Trump, has shown us the way on how to stem the tide of left-wing, progressive, Democrat orthodoxy, which has taken over our culture, our finances. I think we're in $40 trillion of debt now, something like that nationally. As conservatives and Republicans, I think we got our teeth kicked in under the Obama administration. We saw the subterfuge going on and the betrayal within Trump's first administration against him and against us, and then the Biden administration. So we can actually stem the tide of this stuff. The left is becoming increasingly hostile and violent. We saw that with Charlie Kirk. We saw that with the latest assassination attempt. And I don't think there's any better time than right now to get out and stand up with Trump. Trump is on the ballot this midterms, and it's at every level of state government across this entire country of MAGA, pro-Trump Republicans. We haven't had a champion like this since Reagan, and I think we need to get behind him and help him.
All right, James Lamborn, his website, lambornforidaho.com. That's F-O-R, not the number, but lambornforidaho.com. James, best of luck to you this last couple of weeks.
Thank you very much, Neil. Appreciate it.